Dear friends in Christ, as we consider Daniel chapters 10 and 11 this morning, we see that God's message to us is that we are strengthened by His Word. The final three chapters here in Daniel speak of the same single event. Chapter 10 begins with that final vision that was given to Daniel as this messenger comes to him and sets the scene for him. At this point in history, the first wave of exiles had returned to the land of Israel, and Daniel remained behind. We see that the Lord's plan for Daniel was not that he would return back to his homeland, but he would continue to serve in a foreign land. Just as the Lord had brought him over with the first wave of exiles to the land of Babylon to prepare the way for God's people, so he would leave Daniel behind here, so that he can continue to minister to the Israelites that were there. And by this time in the history, Daniel is at least 80 years old. This was his task from God. He would not return home, as far as we can tell. In this final vision, Daniel speaks with a mysterious messenger. Daniel's description of that man is quite unique, as we heard in our scripture reading. A man clothed in fine linen with a belt of gold around his waist. Eyes like beryl, a face like lightning, eyes like flaming torches. Arms and legs like the gleam of burnished bronze. And his voice was like the sound of an army. Obviously, one of the big questions in chapters 10 and 11 here is, who is this messenger? Our first impression might be that it's one of God's angels. God regularly sends His holy angels to people to deliver them important messages. In fact, just in the previous chapter, God sent the angel Gabriel to Daniel regarding a different vision. But there are some differences as well that make us think that this individual is not necessarily an angel. For one thing, no name is given. When Gabriel came to Daniel, his name was given. Why not give the name if it is one of God's angels? And another piece of information is the appearance of this individual. We know that in the Bible, angels appeared in great brightness and glory and power, but there's a lot more description given to this messenger. And the most intriguing detail in trying to identify who this man is the effect that he had on Daniel. Not just with the words that he spoke, but also with what he did for Daniel. As we trace through chapters 10 and 11, the most likely answer is that Daniel was speaking with Jesus. In fact, if you read Ezekiel chapter 1 and Revelation chapter 1, you'll see that Jesus came and showed himself to Ezekiel and John in a very similar way as what Daniel describes in his vision. Obviously, this would be a pre-incarnate form that Jesus is taking here, meaning that it was during a period before his conception and birth, so he would not be in a normal bodily form as we are typically recognize him in the New Testament. This was Jesus in some type of glorified form. And he specifically and purposefully took this form to tell Daniel to pay attention to this vision, that this was going to be a very important message that he was going to reveal to Daniel. At this point, let us work back from chapter 11. And the reason we take these two chapters together is because it's hard to understand one apart from the other. In chapter 11, as we read, what we essentially have is a very detailed prophecy about the end of the time, both as it concerned the people of Israel in returning back home, but also as it concerns the believing church as we reach the final day of Christ. In that way, this vision that Daniel received, this final one, was very similar to the others that he had been given. Each vision the Lord gave him personally, the content was about the kings and the rulers that would lead up to the time of Christ's birth, to give Daniel an idea of what was to come, but also to give the people of Israel a marker of time to know when they should be ready for the Savior to be born. What we see in this final vision is that it's more detailed than all the others. In fact, your unlikely to find a more detailed prophecy in the entire Bible than what we have in chapter 11 with all the details that are given. And what God does by getting more narrow and more pointed in His Word is to show the light into our lives. That God was not just talking here about Israel or Daniel, not just talking about preparing for the first coming of Jesus, but also in an extended way, He's giving us information about preparing for the second coming of Jesus. This is actually a very appropriate section of Scripture to use at this time of the church year, as we are right on the doorstep of the season of Advent. The season of Advent meaning the season of preparation for the birth of Christ. And we always consider that in connection with preparing for the final coming. The first Advent and the second Advent. The first coming and the second coming of Christ are always connected in God's Word. And we see that here in the vision given in chapter 11. God gives us information both about Israel's preparation for Christ's birth, but also for the church's preparation of Judgment Day. That is about all we will say this morning about chapter 11. There's certainly more that we could talk about. There's more that we could study. There's more that we could dig into. But for our purposes this morning, it's understanding that vision in light of what is said in chapter 10. As we mentioned at the beginning, everything in chapter 10 revolves around this divine messenger, which we believe is Christ speaking to Daniel. There's a reason that Christ spends so much time preparing Daniel for this vision. To begin, Daniel is near the end of his service, and he strikes us as someone who is a bit worn down in everything that he has gone through in his life. At the very beginning of chapter 10, he talks about how he was in mourning for 3 weeks and he was refusing to eat choice foods or drink wine. When Daniel first witnessed this messenger on the Tigris River, he was terrified and he put his face to the ground. Now, it's probable that some of Daniel's fear and worry came from the events that were happening back in Israel. If you read in the historical accounts of Ezra and Nehemiah in the Bible, you'll find out that when the captives returned to the land of Israel, although they had the blessing of King Cyrus back in Persia, they were met with a lot of resistance by the native people who had took up residence there. And so it's probable that Daniel is aware of this and is in this period of mourning because of what is happening to God's people. They're not able to rebuild the temple. They're not able to rebuild Jerusalem. But clearly, there's a lot more that concerned Daniel in this chapter as well. Since there is so much emphasis in chapter 10 on the messenger, then it was natural that we can trace the thoughts that God gives us through the words that are spoken. And this messenger had the singular task of enlightening and encouraging Daniel. In this way, chapter 10 serves as a metaphor of our lives. As we were reminded last weekend, the age of prophetic vision has been sealed up by the Lord. It means it's been taken care of and covered. Therefore, we should no longer expect the Lord to reveal Himself to us in dreams and visions and miracles. He certainly is capable of doing that, but He told Daniel, when Christ came, the time of prophetic vision like that would be sealed and shut up. Our traditions and methods of using the Word of God to talk about what God reveals to us are often criticized by those in the world who are interested in a much more emotionally led form of finding the truth. Certainly, if God could appear to us as He does here in chapter 10 of Daniel, that would be very emotionally stimulating. To see God in such a way, to hear God's word delivered through such a divine and powerful messenger. But God tells us He is using the word today in our lives. He is using the scriptures. What this messenger told Daniel was the book of truth. What we also see in chapter 10 here is that God's word breaks down to build up. It's not just a matter of God's word breaking down our spiritual lives at times and then building us up at other times. God is much more deliberate. God says He breaks down to build up. God is intentional about doing it that way. And that's an important distinction, because when we look at the way that God reveals himself to us, we would much rather take the good and leave the bad. We would much rather emphasize the way that God builds us up and encourages us rather than the way that God breaks us down and judges us. But what we see through these words given by Jesus to Daniel is that God breaks down to build up. Those two activities are inseparably connected in our faith. We can't emphasize one more important than the other. We can't say we'll take God's blessings and God's encouragement and God's favor, but we'll neglect God's conviction of the truth and God's message of repentance and sin. God uses that message in order to build us up. It's how he accomplishes that task. In Christian Bible-based terms, you've learned this as the distinction between law and gospel. The law is the message of God that reveals his standard of righteousness to us, and in so doing, it convicts us of having not lived up to that standard. God breaks us down through the law, through words. But then enters the gospel, which is God's promise of unconditional love, mercy, and forgiveness that is not dependent on anything we can do. So God then builds us up through words. You see how the law and the gospel come forth in Daniel chapter 10 as you track the words of the messenger. We focus on the miracle. We focus on the vision. We focus on the sign. But we forget how simple it really is. Jesus did not come down that day just to show his power to Daniel. He came for the purpose of preaching a message to him, of delivering words to Daniel. And so the way that Jesus operated with Daniel here that caused him to become so awestruck and built him up and encouraged him in this moment of weakness is the very same method that God uses in your life. In verse 9, we're told that hearing the first words of Jesus, Daniel put his face to the ground. In verse 11, Daniel said that those words caused him to tremble. In verse 12, Jesus tells Daniel that he came because of Daniel's prayer, because of the words that Daniel spoke in his faith, the words that Daniel offered in humility. Jesus was coming as a response to that prayer. And in verse 15, Daniel again turns his face to the ground and is speechless at the message of Jesus. This is God breaking him down through the law. This is God using those words to show Daniel that the path forward is not through his own righteousness, not through the people of Israel's power or effectiveness as a group, but it's only through the Lord. We don't know exactly what words were given to Daniel from Christ here. We're simply told in this text that it was words. But clearly, whatever those words were, they produced the very same effect that the law of God produces. The law of God is righteous and true, and inwardly, as believers, we desire the law because we know that it is good. We know that it comes from God. We know that it is useful. We know that if we follow it, we will be blessed. But inwardly, we also struggle with imperfection. We also fall from God's righteous standards. We also suffer with the decay of our own sins and transgressions. And therefore, the law's effect, because of our sinful nature, is to condemn and convict us, to break us down from erecting any idol in our hearts that would cause us to trust in something else besides God. Daniel certainly felt that reality. He felt the pressing weight of the law as Christ delivered it to him, and that is what caused him to tremble that day. Daniel knew in his heart that he had no right to stand before God. Daniel knew that he was justifiably accused before God. And the only thing that Daniel deserved was God's judgment. And God brought him down to that lowest point. And God does the same for us through the law. He brings us down to that low point so that we rely and trust on nothing else. And then he comes to us with the gospel. What a different response Daniel received from God. As Daniel bowed in humility, Jesus touched his lips and strengthened him. Jesus said to Daniel, "O man, greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be to you. Be strong." And upon hearing that message from Jesus, Daniel stood. Daniel was strengthened, and Daniel confessed, saying, "Lord, speak, for you have strengthened me." And that's how chapter 10 ends, as Jesus now moves into the vision of chapter 11. Everything changed when the Lord came to Daniel and strengthened him with his word. This scene reminds us of a similar instance in the Bible when one of God's prophets, Isaiah, saw a vision of God in the throne room in Israel. And he saw this miraculous vision from God accompanied by one of God's angels, and Isaiah's response was that he was broken down. Isaiah said upon witnessing God's power, "Woe is me, for I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips. I dwell with a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Daniel did not say, "Yes, Lord, accept me. I choose you. You're my God. I am basking in your glory, and I am comforted by that." Daniel and Isaiah were both broken down because of the pressing weight of the reality of their sins, which they did not ignore. They did not try to cover it up. They did not live as if they did not exist, because that would be to betray the truth. And in that moment of repentance for Isaiah, an angel of God took a live coal from the altar and touched Isaiah's lips with it and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sin is purged." That was the difference for Isaiah. From that point on, he went on and said, "Here am I. Send me, Lord." From that point on, he had confidence and encouragement in his task and in his faith. God broke him down to build him up, and God used his word to accomplish that. Yes, there was a vision. Yes, there was an angel. Yes, there was something spectacular, but that was not the point. The point was that God's word was effective to lead them out of that despair over their sin and to give them strength through forgiveness. Their sins were purged. And the same thing happened to Daniel that day on the banks of the river as he sat with his face pointed down, not even looking upon the Lord, not even feeling worthy to look upon him. And Jesus came and touched his lips and said, "Be strengthened, be encouraged." And Daniel arose. In that moment of agony for Daniel, God used his word to lift him up. And think of, as we've studied the book of Daniel here, we're now reaching the very last chapter next weekend. So much attention has been given in the book of Daniel to God's miracles, to God's signs, to dreams and visions. Every weekend, it's like we had a different highlight to look at of something miraculous that God was doing, some way he was intervening in his people's lives. When you think of some of the most amazing stories of the Bible, even the youth of our congregation, you think of Daniel, Daniel in the lion's den, the three men in the fiery furnace, the visions that were given to Daniel. So much in these 12 chapters of one prophet of God. And it's similar to the ministry of Jesus too. When most people think of the ministry of Jesus, they think of the miracles, the changing of water into wine, the healing of the lepers, the casting out of demons, the raising of the dead, the miracles and signs that God did in the flesh. But even Jesus said, those miracles, those signs, those dreams, those visions, those spectacular things were only given to confirm the word that was spoken. In fact, if you look in the Gospels at the ministry of Jesus, the first thing you'll hear about it is that he went and preached repentance and the gospel to the people. Same thing here in the book of Daniel, same thing in our lives. God can come down if he wants to. God is present with us here today. We don't need a spectacular vision to believe and trust that. But all throughout the course of history, up to this present age, God continues to use words to strengthen and encourage his people. And it worked for Daniel, didn't it? Daniel no longer mourned. He no longer trembled. He no longer feared. He was renewed. He was at peace. He was strengthened. And since we have the same scriptures before us in our lives, we have access to that same source of renewal and peace and encouragement. God gives you His word to strengthen you. Each moment you spend in God's word, He is coming before you. He is revealing Himself as if He was in front of you like He was for Daniel. And He has an important message for you to hear. When you use the word of God without adding opinion to it, without detracting from it with false teaching, with confidence that it is effective and that it will work as God has promised, when we use the word of God that way, as God intended, it will break us down to build us up. And we need not be intimidated or offended that God's word works this way, because it's His design. It's the way that He's seen it fit. And Jesus Himself is so proud of the way that the word works this way. He emphasizes it so much as necessary for our faith that He Himself took on the name, the word. The word made flesh. So that we would know and have confidence when we use the scripture of truth, it is Jesus who is talking to us. Now be assured, the law of God will expose unrighteousness wherever it is found, whether that be through Satan's temptation, through the world's lusts, or through our own sinful hearts. The law will shine the light of God in our lives. And the result of that will be the same way that Daniel felt. Mourning, sorrow, fear, distress. But we need not let those reactions block out how God builds us up as well. That the gospel always shines forth over the law. That God's grace always covers up any sin that is committed. That God's love is unconditional and unfailing, just as His eternal nature is. The gospel indeed is the good news that is sweet and consoling, but only to the sinner who is stricken over their sin. In our lives, we can be patient when it comes to dreams and visions. We would certainly love to see God as Daniel did. We look forward to the day that we will in heaven, when our aspects of faith and our trust will no longer be faith, but will be sight. But we can be patient with that. God will reveal Himself in that way when He is ready. For today, He gives us His word. He gives us His powerful word, His effective word, His precious word, His encouraging word. Let us therefore have confidence in our faith that when the word of God is used that way in our lives, that it is He who is speaking to us and He who is working in us as He intended. To His honor and to His glory, amen. Please rise.